Have you ever witnessed, or maybe perhaps you were in one of these situations? Let's just say we have two young adults and they are dating each other. But the problem is that their loves aren't balanced. One person really loves the person and is talking about marriage and getting them flowers and all sorts of other things, and the other person is just not there yet in the relationship. So it's an unbalance in love. One is giving it, and the other is just not matching it yet. And there's really two things that can happen in this relationship. One, the person can get turned off by it and leave the relationship. That's how I became a priest, okay? All right. Or the other reason, or the other way, is that the person can be moved by it and grow in that capacity to love that person back. Those are the two options when we have this unbalanced love. And this situation I gave you, the scenario, is a created love. It's between two created, finite beings. What happens when one of those things, one of those persons, is love itself, God? That's what we see today in the Transfiguration. Jesus leads, key word there, he takes them up to the mountain. This Transfiguration event is a planned thing by Jesus. It just didn't happen by accident. There was a purpose to it. He takes him up to the mountain. He wants to show him something. He wants to show, especially to Peter, the same Peter where just a couple chapters earlier in Matthew's gospel, Peter rightly calls Jesus the Holy One of God, and that Jesus says that that has been revealed to you by the Heavenly Father, and then goes on and changes his name from Simon to Peter, which means rock. And on this rock, he's going to build his church. That same Peter, who then just a chapter earlier, steps in front of Jesus as they're walking and tells Jesus that he's not going to let him suffer and die. Far be it, Lord, that I should ever let that happen to you. And what's Jesus' response to the person he just called the rock, on whom he's going to build his church? His response now to Peter is, "Get behind me, Satan." That Peter, right before this transfiguration event, was no longer listening to God the Father, but the father of lies. And he was thinking, not as God does, but as human beings do. He denies the Lord's passion, because he won't allow our Lord to love him that way. And so Jesus takes it one step further. He no longer just talks about this love. He's going to show him. What happens at the Transfiguration event is that the humanity that veiled the divinity of Jesus is now, quote unquote, not literally, but spiritually, it's removed. And what Peter and the two others, James and John, are seeing is the fullness of the uncreated glory of God and the Trinity. There's the Spirit, there's the Father's voice in the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son." And essentially, when they see the Trinity, what they're seeing is this uncreated love and communion of persons between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And guess what? There's an unbalance here. Just like that scenario I gave you at the very beginning. There's this total love, and then there's sinful Peter, James, and John. What does this love do? It knocks them to the ground. This light and this love is so overbearing to a being who is afflicted and wounded by sin that it literally casts fear upon them and they fall prostrate face first to the ground. That's the type of love and light we're talking about here. You know, sometimes we treat Jesus as our buddy, as our companion, as the person we would watch a movie with or go shopping with. Oh boy, he's so much more than that. Within that human flesh resides the divine Trinity. And the splendor and uncreated love and glory of God is so much that we can't handle it. We can't love in that way. And so it literally puts us to the ground. But like I said also at the beginning, that there's two options. There's the runaway, but then there's also a way where if one's open to it, that love can help make that grow in the other person and able to respond back in kind. And so the second part of this transfiguration event is not only that the divine love knocks him to the ground, but at the end, what does Jesus do? He picks him up. He takes him by the hand and says, "Rise up." And Peter responds that, "Lord, it is good that we are here. It is good." Even though this divine love knocks him to the ground, Peter recognizes that this is a good place to be. It's good. Divine capacity to love in Peter is starting to grow. And eventually it'll come a point where he's able to respond back in kind, not through his own efforts, by the power of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he literally gives him the gift to love in return. And that one day, Peter and all of us is able to join in that great uncreated love of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's really essentially what heaven is, to be asserted into that communion of love. But the question, as I said, all the way back to that open example, is how are we going to respond? Are we going to flee? Which a lot of times it's the normal course of our actions. That's what we do. Even with each other, we only let somebody love us so far. But when it gets deep and when it starts to hurt and it starts to feel uncomfortable, we push away. I can't let you go there. It's just too much. Or we can trust and let that capacity slowly grow. We can stay in the relationship and let that love start to transform us and allow us that capacity and courage to return that love back. Hopefully the choice is the second one for us, that the Father wants to continue and insert us in that communion of love. Are we going to run, or are we going to stay with them? May God bless you.